Wayfair's big sale is returning. Get ready for Way Day. For 4 days only, score up to 80% off all things home with free shipping on everything. From October 26th through 29th, score Wayfair's best deals, like up to 80% off area rugs, up to 60% off mattresses, up to 60% off bedroom furniture, and more exclusive doorbuster deals. So mark your calendar and shop Way Day starting October 26th at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
On News Talk.
What's your reaction to the protest, the riots outside the Accommodation Centre for International Protection Applicants at City West in Dublin last night? It's pretty incredible, the scenes, and I'm sure, like many of you, I was glued to it from yesterday evening, just watching online, on social media, what was happening, various different clips, and I'm sure a lot of you, of course, look at this stage, you've seen them. I'm sure it's what you're chatting about today and in WhatsApp groups. We just want to know, though, how do people feel about it? You know, particularly if you're a local, if you're a resident to the area, to City West or Saggart. What is the commentary out there today? What are people saying? Nigel is with us on the line today. Nigel, you're a resident in City West, is that right?
Hi, Andrea. How are you?
Good.
Thanks for inviting me on the show.
So you live in the area?
I do, yeah. Yeah, I live in the area. I'm about 150 metres away from the hotel.
Okay. Were you down at the protest last night? Did you witness what happened?
I suppose I'll give you a bit of background on myself. First, I was part of the Stop City West Hotel sale group. So we were doing the car protests and stuff like that, peaceful protests. Last night, I had no intention of going down to the protest at all, because this one was not organized by any residents in Saggart. This was the usual suspects outside. A colleague of yours, Barry White, rang me. He wanted me to meet him and give him an interview. So I said, I'll meet you halfway down. That's as far as I'm going, Barry. Mm.
So you were obviously part of the campaign that was against the purchase of the City West site. You've been out protesting, Nigel, in relation to that sale in recent months, but you'd absolutely no hand, act or part in any of the protest that was organised yesterday. What did you witness when you were there yesterday evening?
Everything. Sorry, Andrea, I didn't get much sleep last night. I might get a bit emotional here now.
Okay.
But everything. It was an absolute nightmare last night. We realised how boxed in we are in Saggart. We had the riot squad either side of a small little road going through the village. And once that happened, all the protesters decided to jump into people's gardens. I live in an apartment complex. They were running through the apartment complex here looking for weapons. They were trying to get over the wall into the school next door to try to circumvent the riot squad. Maybe they tried to hit them from behind. It was an absolute nightmare. Down at Saggart Lodge, they knocked down the front walls there just to demolish them and take bricks to throw at the guards. They went up to local businesses in terms of the Anvil and Jacobs. They took the wheelie bins out of there containing glass bottles to bring them down to throw at the police. So all the local businesses were impacted last night as well.
Yeah.
They all had to shut. The pubs, the shops, the restaurants, everything. The loose was shut. Buses were shut. People couldn't get home. People were told to park the cars at the far side of town. And I'm not exaggerating, and this is where I might get emotional, but I've seen parents running through the village trying to get home safely, carrying children in their arms. It was absolutely horrific.
Like nothing you'd ever seen before, Nigel.
No, it's something like you just see in a movie.
Yeah.
There was guys down there with ponies, like trying to break through the barricades. It's absolutely mental. Never seen a water cannon in my life either. It was absolutely mental. And this is all happening right outside our apartment complex as well. So it was absolutely horrific. Yeah,
and I suppose probably, you know, in the back of your mind, Nigel, too, you know, you're thinking about what happened in Dublin city centre. God, it was only around this time, actually, 2 years ago, you know, we saw the riots on the streets of our capital city, and we saw how that was handled and how that had escalated. And I'm sure that was to the fore of your mind yesterday evening too, Nigel.
Correct, yeah. We started this protest initially for two reasons. Well, our protest, sorry. One was obviously what might come out of the hotel in terms of the asylum seekers. We know this is coming from the government, that 80% of them are economic migrants. We also were very fearful that there would be an incident. To be honest, we knew there was going to be an incident and we knew there was going to be riots. We've been talking to other media, councillors, TDs. I'm setting up a meeting now to get all our local councillors to meet up with us and our TDs, and we really need to discuss this. This is just incredible. We knew this was going to happen. There was an incident. There was going to be a riot. That's why we did not want this sale to go through. And as I said earlier, it's a pure bottleneck. It's not a suitable facility at all for its purpose.
It's not a suitable facility in so far as for local residents living in the City West area in Saggart, that like what unfolded last night, where you've Gardaí and Riot Police out in the streets deployed, that, you know, you and I suppose other residents, Nigel, like that, are you're basically cordoned in. You couldn't get out.
Well, we couldn't get out. We couldn't get in. No, it was mental, like absolutely mental. The Lemongrass restaurant down in the complex has been ordered to shut by the guards for an unforeseen time period. The gym down there, the same as well. We did highlight this numerous times that this was going to happen. I had an interview with one of your colleagues as well. Kieran Cudahy broadcast it. I was focusing at the time on the loss of the amenity to the area, because it's a fabulous amenity. We had everything down there. We had Disney and Ice, we had the darts, there was business expeditions, plant exhibitions. The GA used to always stay there after All Ireland. The ballroom down there has a seating capacity for 2,000.
Gosh, it was a huge venue, massive. I know. So you were always concerned, Nigel, about the loss of that and the economic loss, I suppose, too, to the local area of that site not being there for locals, and this was for tourists as well. Stay with me if you can, Nigel. I have a couple of people here I want to chat to today. 1800 453 106, the number. Conor Lally is on the line. Conor, of course, is the security and crime editor with the Irish Times. Conor, you were there last night in a work capacity. Describe what you witnessed.
Yeah, I mean, certainly very interesting just to hear your last caller there speaking about the impact that it has had on people from the area. And that doesn't really surprise me. You know, the scenes there last night were really violent. I suppose from about 7:30 to about 9 o'clock, the Gardaí came under a lot of pressure. First of all, the protesters were allowed to march up the driveway of the City West IPASS Centre, and then they tried to break through crowd control barriers there. They weren't successful in that, and really the public order unit Gardaí then came forward from behind the barriers and they deployed pepper spray and they pushed everybody back out up the driveway and back out onto, I think it's Garter Lane. And really then the scenes unfolded on Garter Lane for probably the next hour, hour and a half. There was public order unit Gardaí with their shields out and pepper sprays at the ready, and they were fanned out across the entrance of the City West complex. And really, they were just, as your previous caller said, they were pelted with everything from glass bottles to bricks and so on.
Was there fireworks, Conor? There was fireworks
as well, yeah. And actually, fireworks started this. Fireworks was the thing that were first fired at the lines of Gardaí inside the complex. And that's what prompted the public order Gardaí to come out from behind the crowd control barriers and to essentially take action and push these people back out of the complex and back out onto the road. I saw a group of young men going into a housing estate across the road. They essentially kicked over pillars and small walls, and then they broke these apart with their bare hands. And when they had them down to individual bricks, they then brought them back out onto the road, put them in a pile, and these were all flung at the lines of public order.
This is ammunition.
Yeah, and then as your caller said, there was very large wheelie bins taken from up the hill, I'm assuming from pubs or other places, and wheeled down the hill to the entrance of the iPad Centre. They were turned upside down, and when all the bottles were on the ground, there was like a rush from the crowd forward to grab the bottles, and again, the guards got pelted. But then probably at about 9 p.m. really, came the big Garda push to end it all. And a whole new, I suppose, line, a new front of public order Gardaí appeared. They had walked down from Sagart, down Garter Lane towards the entrance of the hotel. And they joined up with their colleagues who were at the entrance of the hotel for about the previous hour and a half. And really, once they joined forces, they were backed by, obviously, the Garda helicopter was in the sky. There were police on horseback. The water cannon was there, and there was the biggest convoy of Garda vehicles I've ever seen. I mean, I would imagine it's the biggest convoy of vehicles that was ever used in a in a live operation in Ireland.
And you've covered a lot of scenes like this over the years. I mean, I was following, actually, there were people last night streaming the incident live, and I was following those on Twitter and on TikTok, and it reminded me, of looking at the 12th of July and looking at parades in the north from about 20 years ago. But just to go back there for a moment, Conor, you mentioned the water cannon. That was deployed last night, wasn't it, for the first time? It wasn't used, though, was it?
I don't think it was used. I certainly didn't see it being used, and I was right beside it for probably the best part of an hour. And by the time I went home, just after 10 o'clock, really, there was only a handful of people left on the streets. The Garda lines were still on the streets, blocking off the street, effectively, lines of public order Gardaí with their shields out, blocking the streets. So I think the presence of the water cannon, it is a very, very big vehicle, and it was in the background, like towering over the lines of Gardaí, towering over the Garda horses.
Right.
So I guess when the protesters just saw that big line of Garda resources coming towards it, it did change the complexion of the incident. And again, once these pepper sprays were deployed, both earlier in the evening inside the complex and then out on the road outside, these are, I think, in the Dublin riots of November 23, if I'm getting my years right, the pepper sprays were much too small and they also ran out. The ones that Public Order Gardaí have now, some of them are as big as fire extinguishers. And when they spray them, the spray goes really, really far. And there's a huge volume of the spray actually in the canisters. So once they sprayed those, it was like it just cleared the crowd. And when several Public Order Gardaí sprayed them at the same time, the spray then lingered in the air. It kind of wafted through the air for quite some time. And it affected people in the crowd for maybe 2 minutes afterwards. Mm. So you would hear people coughing, trying to get away from that, spray still in the air. And really, that pepper spray was the thing that cleared the crowds last night.
That was awesome. And did you feel, Conor, as though the guards were in control of this, that they had it under control? Because they faced a lot of criticism, obviously, during the riots 2 years ago.
Hmm. No, this was a completely different performance last night on Garda Síochána Conor. Now, look, what you have to understand as well is that the riots 2 years ago, it was all over the city centre. So it was moving. Mm-hmm. There was groups of people moving all over the place, shops being looted and so on. This was guarding the outside of an iPad centre. It's a set piece. They know where all the entrances and exits are. They know where the weak points are and so on. It's a campus, and they will have had a policing plan in place for anything happening there for quite some time. And they really executed that plan last night. But after the riots of almost 2 years ago, they got those enhanced pepper sprays. They got better riot shields, and they just got kit that they didn't have available to them 2 years ago. And then they also trained up hundreds and hundreds of Gardaí to be public order officers when they were required. Mm. And you could really see all
you
of that last night.
Difference.
The equipment was far better. And even the way the Gardaí moved in lines, they just took control of the situation.
Okay.
And they were very, very well drilled. You would think that these were public order units that were out every night. They were really well drilled, very well organised.
The listeners got in touch to say the riots were unacceptable, the peaceful protest was taken over, and the peaceful protest was valid. People are afraid. I believe we have a responsibility to help our fellow humans, but those being helped also have a responsibility to abide by our laws. Another texter says, our government have consistently refused to listen to the Irish people about immigration. We are accused of being racist if we say anything, and it is getting and it's going to get worse and much worse if the government doesn't listen to what its people want. Patrick's with me on the line today. Patrick, you're in City West, you're a local resident there. What was your reaction to what happened last night?
Hi Andrea. I used to live in City West. I don't anymore actually, but I'm very familiar with the area.
Right.
And the village. But I can say I was looking at it streaming last night, and what I noticed was there was actually lots of English voices on the streams that I was looking at, like London accents. So I don't know what those people were doing there. They were live streaming it. By the time I had tuned in, they had decided, we're all going to go to McDonald's, they said. So it seems like there were outside actors in there, you know, and I'm glad that you gave somebody like Nigel a platform there this morning, because he seems to be the reasonable face of the opposition towards the IPAS Centre in City West. And I think what these riots do is they're going to delegitimise people with valid concerns like Nigel, you know.
Well, I'm always interested in talking to all sides of the story, Patrick, because it's important that people get to have a voice and they feel they have a voice. And, you know, people do need to be listened to, whether people agree with what they're saying or not. I mean, people should be at least entitled to give an opinion. So you'd know residents there, Patrick. Were you talking to any friends or old neighbours?
I was talking to a colleague this morning, and she mentioned that her friend live up there. They had their wall outside their apartment was demolished by the crowd, and they were using them to throw at the guards. But I think the wider issue here really is a mismanagement of our whole immigration system, you know. You look at the figures there, even around City West Hotel itself, it's a contentious building from the get-go. I mean, much of it was built with no planning permission, and yet Fianna Fáil used to have their Ardèche there every year.
There's always been, I suppose. Yeah, well, look, it's definitely been the subject of controversy over the past couple of months. And as Nigel mentioned, that campaign in relation to the sale of the hotel for international applicants. Where do we go from here, Patrick?
Well, Andrea, that hotel was bought for $30 million, and it was turned in 2014. It was sold back to the government for $148 million. The company that had it made millions in the meantime from COVID, from having it as a vaccination centre and then as an asylum centre for Ukrainian refugees and asylum seekers. The government has paid out since 2012 $6 billion. On asylum seekers, but we have around 100,000 people coming here from outside of the EU every year. Of that, Andrea, 15,000 only are seeking asylum. The other 85,000 or so are coming in on student visas or work visas. And at the same time, we're only building 20 or 30,000 houses and apartments every year. So do the math, you know. It's a complete disaster.
Okay. Well, now I know previously that they'd mentioned, I think there was more than currently about 32,500 asylum seekers in 320 centres and hubs around the country. I think City West itself can accommodate, is it 2,300 people or so? Let me bring in John Lahart, Patrick, for a moment. John is, of course, Fianna Fáil TD for Dublin South West. He's chair of the Oireachtas Committee on Foreign Affairs and Trade. John, I mean, this is we're talking about basically your constituency and the violence that broke out there yesterday evening. What was your initial reaction to this last night?
Thanks, Andrea. And it's been discussed on the floor of the Dáil this morning as well. It's actually adjacent to my constituency. It's in Dublin Midwest, but I would have a lot of people who clearly send their children to school locally, and it's literally on the border. I've just been listening, as you have, there for the last 10 minutes and to some problems this morning when I could, and just taking in the fact that water cannon, pepper spray, riot squads, a really significant force of Gardaí were necessary to police what had started off as a peaceful protest last evening and turned into just a really violent protest, not a peaceful protest as the Gardaí described it, that it included sustained attacks, arson of a Garda van, and then just interruption to everybody's life there, the closure of the Red Line Lewis out there for a period of time.
It was huge impact to it. But I suppose to pick up on some of the points from Nigel and Patrick there, though, John, today, like, I mean, you can surely sense the frustration from locals living in and around the locality of the asylum centre at City West.
Yeah, and look, as a TD, I would have written to my colleague and written to government officials when it was mooted that the state would buy City West. So none of this justifies now the action that has taken place, but just by way of background. To reinforce this fact that City West was a really significant amenity from an employment point of view, a social point of view, cultural point of view, just a general amenity point of view. So one, you have the loss of that. And in tandem with that, you've had a proliferation of development in tandem with that locally, and very few amenities replacing that. So one of the points I made to government was that, you know, we need a kind of a quasi-task force led by the local authority.
But sure, that's nonsense, John. Just a committee about a committee.
No, it actually isn't, because there hasn't been, I suppose, there just hasn't been engagement yet, because the state now, only for the last month, owns the hotel. And my point, Andrea, would be this. When we look at how much Tetrarch, the owners of the hotel, were paid, a fraction of that actually would go a long way to solving a lot of the issues that have arisen over the last year or two.
The government, your government, paid 148 million euro last month, despite sustained objections from local people who were part of that committee that were against the sale of the hotel at City West to the International Asylum Protection Centre. Nigel mentioned he was one of those that was against it. And sure, at the time, the government said it was going to run a community engagement plan following local concerns. Now, there was no community. Where was the community engagement plan last night?
Yeah, and, you know, and I would have been one of the public representatives that voiced my concern about it, about the removal of that amenity. From the Department of Justice's point of view, you know, clearly the decision the government took was this, that we are paying billions, or were paying billions, to private operators, that the state needs to buy its own place. I wish it hadn't been City West, because it's so close to my constituency and so essential to my constituents, but it's done and the state owns it. And now that I agree that the community engagement hasn't happened. So actually at 1 o'clock today, or after one, I'd be meeting with the Minister for Justice, my colleague in relation to this. I know Shane Moynihan, the local TD for Dublin Midwest, and all the TDs for Dublin Midwest met with the Minister yesterday. And there is now, and I put my hands up about this, an urgency about addressing this. And I hope it provides the opportunity to actually address some of the community engagement.
So for Nigel, there was...
But also in terms of just the general amenities and infrastructure that is needed as a result of the loss of City West. And like, public representatives for the area, Andre, aren't sitting back idly, kind of just letting these things happen. We're trying to get plans put in place. We're trying to engage with the stakeholders like the local authority, who are very, very mindful of the impact of the loss of City West on the local community.
So what happens now? Like, what do you say to Nigel and other residents and neighbours that he's friends with that were out and part and organised the peaceful protest that had initially taken place? Like, will there be engagement with those today?
Well, I think if it's the same Nigel has been in touch with me this morning, and I've responded to him, and he's keen to meet with, as he said, councillors and local TDs, and I'm very keen to meet with him. But I would certainly, and would have put this in writing 2 months ago, 3 months ago. I mean, at a parliamentary party, Andrea, I described the loss of the loss of City West as akin to the loss of the Aviva Stadium in the South City. Like, that is the impact of the loss of City West.
Right.
And so the state has to step in terms of organising some structure that drives forward the replacement of community facilities. Proper Garda station provision, whether it's...
Yeah, well, that was something that was mentioned, I know, during the summer campaign as well. We'll have to leave it there for the moment. John Lahart, Fianna Fáil TD, Dublin South West. Patrick, Conor Lally there from the Irish Times, security editor. Nigel, as well, as I said, a resident in City West. We're going to come back to this after one. There's tons of people getting in touch. Five men have been charged with offences connected to violent disturbances outside the accommodation centre. And our chief reporter, Barry White, is there. He's in City West this lunchtime. Barry, what's the latest there so far today?
Hi, Andrea. Yeah, so the clean-up operation is just continuing this afternoon. At the front entrance of the City West I-Pass accommodation centre, you can just see just broken glass everywhere, broken bottles that were thrown at Gardaí last night are still there across the front of the road into the hotel, across the footpaths. There's broken bricks just thrown across the footpath and the road. And to kind of give you an idea of the size of these bricks, this is walls from a nearby housing estate that were just demolished. And some of these are massive. These were thrown at Gardaí last night. There's large planks of wood because there was fences in nearby estates that were torn down. They're still strewn across the footpath. And then, obviously, you can see the scorched burn marks on the ground where a Garda van was was set alight last night. So you can see the destruction that's left. Last night, this violent protest, there's a large Garda presence remains here today. The entrance into the City West complex is now completely blocked off today. I've seen some asylum seekers and refugees who live there. They can't get in the front entrance. They have to go round the back entrance now. So it's affected them. Speaking to locals who live in the village and live nearby the complex, they're just disgusted by what happened last night. A lot of them tell me that they have peacefully protested before, but they didn't get involved last night because they just knew that it was going to turn violent from early on. And a lot of these people were afraid to leave their homes last night. A lot of these people have kids. Now, there's an estate adjacent to the City West complex, and I took a walk around there about an hour ago. So this is houses, and you have a wall separating each house. There's no walls there anymore. They've just been completely demolished. You can see just they've just been smashed to pieces, and obviously the protesters, the rioters, smashed these to pieces and used them then to launch at the guards. The fences in the estate have been completely tore down. But then there's gas panels and electricity boxes which have also been completely smashed in this estate. And the people in this estate, just adjacent to the hotel across the road, have now been left with no electricity, no gas today. They can't cook, they can't clean, they've no lights. Speaking to one man, says they can't even work from home today. Some of the kids in this estate didn't go to school because they were too afraid today. So it's had an impact on locals here. I spoke to one woman earlier, and she was just telling me about the damage last night when protesters outside her house tore down her wall.
So they smashed the walls, they smashed
You see that one?
Yeah.
Smashed the wall there.
No, you can take all the wall they smashed. But this is our house, right? Family house.
Were you here when the protesters came in last night?
Yes, yeah, of course.
What the issue is, like, the guard, there is someone to protect the City West Hotel. But you see our gate are open. We have kids around the area. We have kids, even baby in the house. But there's no one to protect us. Like, those people are just coming knock one by one down. We even screaming, say, there's this gas supply over there. They shouldn't like, damage that one. It's so dangerous. So
what did you do last night when that happened? Like, you must have been in your house afraid.
I was in the house afraid, but, like, still, like, I just prepared. Because they start to knock things down. They start to knock those gas meter down. I have to go in to try to stop it.
Has the guardie spoke to you or anyone here today? No.
No, I don't see any guardie.
So you've been left without gas. What
the
else?
Gas is after that the damage. Now it's disconnect because they for some safety reason. But like now our house is left with no gas. No heat, no hot water, no cocaine. So it's mad. And we are not being protected. Nobody protests us under the...
So you're afraid in your own home now after last night?
Well, there are hundreds of people.
But definite.
Yeah, so there's obviously the guards are carrying out the forensic examination, I suppose, of that scene. But as you've been hearing, Barry, and talking to locals there, I mean, like, there's a huge cleanup operation for people in the area as well. This could go on for days.
Yeah, well, at the entrance of the hotel, and there's a car park at the front of the hotel, you can see dozens of Garda forensics just kind of combing through the area today looking for evidence. As I said already, there's smashed glass everywhere, there's broken bricks everywhere. But then if you go over to this house in the estate across the road, like, it is just completely destroyed. And as you heard there from that woman, these people were so afraid last night because there was just so many protesters went into their estate and just destroyed walls, demolished fences. And then, as I say, there's gas panels and electricity boxes which were smashed up. And like, they were afraid that there could have been an explosion outside their house. They were ringing the guards, they say, and they were getting no answer because obviously the guards were preoccupied with what was going on just 100 yards away. But it's had an impact on these people today now because, as I say, they can't work from home, they can't cook, you can't really do much today if you have no gas or electricity. Now, further up towards Sagard Village, I've also been speaking to people who live just along the road there today as well. And these are people who were afraid to leave their homes last night because the Garda, you know, riot police kind of pushed the protesters up towards the village kind of towards 9-10 o'clock last night, and so they were looking out their windows and they were seeing this, so pretty scary for them as well. And I spoke to this man a short while ago. He lives very, very close to the City West Hotel, and he described to me what he's seen from out his living room window last night.
I mean, it sounded like a war zone, I suppose, is kind of a way of putting it. Just constant bangs from the fireworks, a lot of screaming and shouting. And then you look out and you see just madness. Loads of young people, loads of people with their faces covered. There were guys on horseback with masks. There was just people running all over the place, shouting and stuff. And then in the middle of it, you might see somebody with a kid in their shoulders and they're teaching them to shout, get them out. It was incredibly depressing.
Were you afraid that it might come to your own door then? Because you live so close?
Oh, of course we were, yeah. There's a lot of texts flying around for people in the area kind of saying, oh, we've seen them here now, this is happening here. Then the fact that they got pushed into other estates, even once they had left the actual heart of it. So it was scary for a lot of people. And I'd say my kids now, luckily, we were able to keep it fairly quiet for them during the night. But then today we had to walk them to school past a burnt out Garda van. All sorts of things damaged that they didn't even know could be damaged. Posts lifted out of the ground, that kind of thing. Their sense of security is totally shot. They're going to be having nightmares. They're going to be hard to get to sleep. And I can't even imagine what it's like for the poor people in the centre.
Yeah, obviously a difficult conversation too for parents to have with those young children, as Barry White there, our reporter, speaking to some locals in the area even just earlier this morning. James Morrisroe Barry is with us on the line too. James is the Deputy General Secretary of the Garda Representative Association. Were your members prepared for this last night, James?
Well, look, first of all and first and foremost, I want to wish speedy recovery to the injured member from last night's violent disturbances. You know, we all saw it on our screens. We all saw it on social media, what was transpiring. And look, it has been pointed out to me there's five people charged, so I'm slightly restricted in what I can say. Mm-hmm. So, I may be reticent on that. But, you know, we can only commend all the frontline members who were present last night. And they showed tremendous dedication, composure and restraint in the face of a very violent situation, as we've seen. So, look, it appears they were ready. You've seen what they faced. I heard your report there just from the reporter saying about broken bottles, broken bricks, walls demolished. The people living in the area were absolutely terrified, something I hadn't thought of until I heard that. But that's outrageous that they had to put up with that. Our members went to work last night. A lot of them had worked 12 hours and they finished at 7 p.m. They stayed on. They worked on. Members were called to come in to put their shoulders to the wheel, as they always do. And several attempts were made to seriously injure our members. And it's absolutely despicable that they faced life-threatening actions with fireworks, rocks and bottles being used as weapons against our members from a few feet away. I mean, we could be looking at serious injuries this morning. And if that line was breached, God only knows what would have happened.
So just interesting, I heard Barry mention, and Barry's still with us too, James. Is there a Garda presence there today? Has a Garda presence been maintained?
I'm led to believe there is. I'm not fully aware of it, but I'm led to believe there is. I'm hoping that any other nights or any other days that there's anything like that, that we will have the required number of members. It's hard because our resources are stretched and it can't go on every night because we won't be, you know, resources are tight. So it'll be very hard to provide that cover. But as I said, when our members are called, they put the shoulder to the wheel. They did last night and they will do again. And it will be tough, but it will happen.
Yeah, but I suppose given the concerns that are there even within the community today, and as Barry mentioned in talking to that last local, you know, given that people and young children have concerns, is it likely that there will be a Garda presence going forward?
If there's a threat there, obviously there will be a Garda presence. I mean, we are there to provide protection to life and property. That's what we try to do at all times. And look, there was a lot of property damage last night, but albeit apart from one of our members being injured, nobody else was seriously injured. Obviously, there'd be psychological trauma from what the members faced, but we avoided serious injuries.
Stay with me, James, if you can, for a few moments. I just want to bring in Councillor Linda De Courcy from Independent Ireland is on the line, because Linda, you represent this area that we've been talking about since early this morning and obviously last night as well. How are the people you've been chatting to today?
Hi, Andrea. Thanks for having me on. I think most of them are in shock, you know. I think there was kind of a knowing, because, you know, people have seen what happens when kind of riots are, not sorry, riots, apologies, when kind of protests are sort of organized, that there will be an element of people coming, you know, without the intention of peaceful protesting. So unfortunately, that has happened. And I mean, I'm obviously, you know, devastated for what happened, this young girl, but also devastated for the hardworking people of Sagart, who just up until, you know, recently lived in a nice, quiet, peaceful village and got on with their lives like the rest of us did. And now they're, yeah.
Well, it's a subject to conversation this lunchtime. And I know we're obviously restrained somewhat now that people have been charged, yeah, you know, in relation, Linda, to what we can say. But do you think the government need to step in to help now in relation to the cleanup operation?
Well, I think they need to take ownership of the fact that they have bought this hotel and that they are not enforcing any security measures. You know, there's no security hut at the entrance to City West. They should be monitoring people coming in and out. I know that when the IPAs are in the conference center, currently they're being housed in the conference center, when they're in there, like it's a very well structured routine, and there's a adequate security, and the guys know, like, you know, that they know the rules, they understand the rules. Mm. But as soon as they leave, they can kind of, they're free to do what they want.
Okay, and you think there needs to be perhaps a additional presence there in relation to security. Let me bring in Taim for a moment, if you don't mind, Linda. Taim is with us on the line as well. You're a local. You live in the City West area. What is the cleanup operation like there today, Taim?
Yeah, hi. Thank you so much for having me on. And I've only come back this morning, so I was away and I got back this morning. It's not great, to be honest, and the damage is significant. But again, I would second what Linda just mentioned. You know, the people within that area are very much integrated people. It's a good area to be in, but the concerns of the people are justified with regards to the IPA centres being there. And something needs to be done from the government, right? Not only for the cleanup aspect, but to ensure that the people of this area can actually be, they can feel safe. There's a lot of concerns for mothers, for children, for everybody.
Well, we spoke to John Lahart, the Fianna Fáil TD. He was with us on the show a little earlier today, and he talked about the fact that he's going to there's going to be, you know, community engagement or a meeting with the public.
There's a lot. Yeah, sorry to cut you off, but there's a lot of lip service that's going on from government members, and it's not good enough, because there's been many warnings, I suppose, from people, many concerns raised already, and nothing has been done. So as a community, I'd like to feel that people are tired of lip service and we'd actually like to see something done to ensure safety.
With the government and with ministers and a presence there and engagement with locals today, Taim?
Yeah, well, the engagement is fine. You can engage with the community, but there's been plenty of engagement that something should have been in place to avoid this situation.
Okay.
And avoid other situations that have happened to cause a little bit of social unrest and people to feel concerned about the safety.
Okay. Well, I know there's been ongoing protests, I suppose, since the summer period. And I should say peaceful protests that were organised as well. Barry White is still with us, because Barry, I mentioned you're there and you're in City West today. Is it similar to Taim and Linda? Is that what locals are saying? They want to see government representatives out there. They want a meeting.
Yeah, the locals are concerned that something similar to what happened last night could happen again. There is a huge Garda presence here. Today there was a huge Garda presence outside the hotel this morning, and has remained here this afternoon. But yet locals are afraid that this could happen again. And a lot of locals have said to me today, is there enough Garda resources in the area just in case something like this could happen again? Like, Garda sources have told me today, Andrea, that it's commonly known that Rathcoole Garda Station has the lowest number of Garda per Garda station in the Dublin metropolitan region. It's not a 24-hour station in Rathcoole. There's very, very low numbers there. So, like, resources is a huge issue in this area. And if it was to kick off again, like, are Garda going to have to draft in resources from other areas across the city, other, you know, Garda members from other counties, like they had to do last night? And before the public order unit were drafted in last night, like, when these people came in masked, men on horseback, like, at one point they surrounded, I keep calling them a soft hat Gardaí because it wasn't a public order unit, they surrounded them last night, and I was kind of standing back watching thinking, how was a guard not killed or seriously injured. It was very, very lucky that that didn't happen last night. And well, I know when the public order unit came in, they did disperse it within a couple of hours, but like, this could have been so much worse last night. And I think something has to be probably done by the Garda, has to be done about the Garda resources in the area.
Okay, well, that's an ongoing issue. I know that there'll be further analysis and conversation about that here on News Talk throughout the course of the afternoon as well. But look, for the moment, Barry, we'll let you get back to City West there. James Morris-Rowe from the GRA, Councillor Linda De Courcy and Taim, thanks a million for getting in touch. Emails lunchtimelive@newstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.
Wayfair's big sale is returning. Get ready for Way Day. For 4 days only, score up to 80% off all things home with free shipping on everything. From October 26th through 29th, score Wayfair's best deals. Like up to 80% off area rugs, up to 60% off mattresses, up to 60% off bedroom furniture, and more exclusive doorbuster deals. So mark your calendar and shop Way Day starting October 26th at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.